Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ed, Chris, Kenny.
So far, I think it's Ed and Kenny.
Okay.
And Chris.
Now Chris.
And Chris, excellent.
Kristen should be joining us as well.
I'm on right now.
All right, perfect.
I'm coming in. I'm going to be on mute, though. Is that okay or no?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Okay.
All right, well, good. Well, welcome. Congratulations
for
engaging in Supernova. I look forward to your success.
Likewise.
Thanks. Let me review something that we talked about that has been rolling around in my head. That 70 clients gave you $24,000 of business. And what would
that
look like if we just had 100? That's correct. I wrote that down. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, good. All right. Well, I wrote out some simple goals that I like to keep things simple and kind of reflect back on those things as we get down the road and we get into challenges and the thing looks all complicated. We go back and say, okay, what were our simple goals? What were we trying to do here? And based on the conversation that we had the last time and the frustration that I felt, the most important goals that we could establish would be to keep the critical 100 clients and make them happy. All right, so keeping 100 happy and so they don't leave. And then gain 30 new clients that look like the top 30 that you have today. All right. Now, what would that do for you? That would double your business. Okay?
Okay.
So you give away $24,000 of business and you double your income. Does that sound like a good plan?
Not a good trade-off to me.
Okay, so, I mean, seriously, because people are not going to give away something that has value for nothing, right? It's got to be a trade-off. And when that trade-off is clear and concise and focused and makes all the logical sense in the world, that's when we get to real segmentation. That's when we get the head, you know, behind the heart, and we can make a decision that's not just logical but emotionally satisfying. We can deal with it, in other words.
So where would the, what's the path or the rationale for where those 30 new clients would be coming from?
Well, ideally, is those 30 top clients that you have now would give you someone exactly like them.
And this is within the next 24 months.
You could do it.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could, you know, if you want to and you're urgent and you're, you know, you're really focus on it, yes, it's really very reasonable within the next 24 months, at least within the next 36 months.
Right.
That would only mean 10 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do 10. I mean, just think. I mean, we have very satisfied top 50 clients probably at this point. By adding Supernova, they're even going to be more satisfied. They're going to feel an obligation because of the rule of reciprocity. When we improve things for somebody else or we invite them for dinner or we do something nice for them, they want to do something nice for us.
Mm-hmm.
So when you introduce Supernova to them and you make it somewhat dramatic in terms of the improvement,
right,
then they're going to want to do something. Now, there's two things that they expect. One, they expect you to raise prices. And two, they expect that they're going to want to do something else for you, but they don't know what that is. And in our case, what we're going to do is simply ask for an introduction to someone else like themselves that would value what it is that we do.
Right. Hey, Rob, in your experience, your business experience with teams that are 3 to 5 or maybe even longer in the program, the growth that they see, we're talking about maybe 10 per year or 30 after 3, is that linear or over time, does it increase? How does that? What does your eye see in that regard?
I've seen it. You're right. There's a compounding effect. As long as you don't keep too many clients, so that you get bogged down again in the busy work.
Right.
Some people run to the busy work. They love it and they want that, and they don't really want to retain the time to grow. And so when they do double, then they are like that, they feel like they're at capacity and then they're fine. But if you don't and you maintain the time that you need for acquisition and you keep filling it with good activity, you're going to continue to double and double and double. And that there's really no reason that shouldn't continue, because, I mean, it's just logical mathematics. And you're going to get better and better and better at serving higher net worth clients. Huh. And once you're really good at it, then you'll attract more and more of the same. So that's the game. It's not complicated. I had the guy call the other day and say, thank you a million. You don't know what you've done for me. You've doubled my business, and I just want to thank you again. And it's so weird. I mean, sometimes this was a guy that just read my book and did it on his own.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy, right? So
great.
Getting the tools, which you'll get, getting the process, which you'll get, will give you that ability. Now, of course, it's up to you. You've got to put in the time and the effort. You've got to learn some new skills. But it's very reasonable, and it's not complicated. We talked about that. Simple but not easy. And that's what Supernova is. So we'll have one level of service. All the clients will get that. You don't have to remember A, B, C, D, E, F, G model. You don't have to remember who gets a birthday card and who doesn't. Everybody gets a birthday card. So,
right.
But it's important to us that we keep. So the first 4 weeks, again, are going to be focused on segmentation, and I'd like you to really take it seriously. And really do this and really get down to the 70 clients or get down to 100 clients and find a good home where you're comfortable that those people will have a home, and so that you really have that sense of angst about being skinny and that you're a little hungry then. And gee whiz, there's no real, we've taken away what was a false safety net. We take that away, and now you're out there in the game again. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing for everybody. Makes you, you're living on the edge a little bit. You're feeling that anxiety, which is good. And you're getting up with a little pep in your step, and you're saying, "Whoa, I got to make some calls today. I got to get some business here. I got to use some of Rob's tools." And let's go. Have fun.
Yep.
Okay. So
good.
That's ideal. Again, that I work on the ideal model, and if there was something that was better, that you can introduce along the way, then especially, you know, Ed, with your experience, I'm really anxious for that. But if it's not better, then we'll use the best of what we've got, because it is the sum total of everybody that I've ever met's ideas, all right? So this is the sum total of 44 years of experience into one business model that is a series of best practices all strung together in a very cohesive manner. So, again, if it makes sense, then why wouldn't we use it, right?
Yeah. No, we've all bought in. It makes sense to me, and, you know, in my experience, I've seen things like it, but this is just, it's better in that it has structure, it's simpler, and it seems to be, as long as there is a commitment, kind of turnkey. Just do it.
Yeah, it is. And it's great for partnerships, because everybody knows that everybody else is doing their job. It just feels good to work together on a process like this, because you're not wondering what your partner's doing today. You know what he's doing. At least you know a portion of what he's doing. And even if you talk all the time, you still don't quite know what everybody's doing. But in this particular case, you know exactly who everybody is meeting with, talking to, every day in terms of your existing clients. And then what we do is we work on prospects in just the same way. So everybody knows who's everybody's working on in terms of prospects too. So everybody's fully engaged in the process of acquisition. And like I said, if some people are better at some skill than others, or they're just further along experience-wise, then we want them to do more of that, whatever that happens to be, whether it be financial planning or it's prospecting or it's servicing existing clients or it's operations. That's what we want that person doing more of, while the others improve their skills in those areas and get up to speed so that everyone can be interchangeable, and that's the ideal model. But there's always going to be some people that have got natural skills that supersede anybody else's training. You know, they're just really good at what they do. So we're going to emphasize that with our organization and our structure. So again, the first 4 weeks are on segmentation, the next 4 weeks are on organization, the last 4 weeks are on acquisition. But what you'll find is that we introduce pieces of acquisition almost immediately, so that you are feel like you're using and have the ability to use some of the tools we're going to teach right from the beginning. Because we're running two parallel tracks here. One is to organize the team in terms of clients, and the other one is to organize the teams in terms of prospects. So it isn't like we'll get the team organized and then we'll start prospecting. It both start at pretty much the same time. The reason we do segmentation first is so that we have the create the time and the capacity for organization and acquisition. Now, again, because you went through the Wealth Advisor Program, you're pretty far along in terms of understanding the process and how to do it, where clients go, and all that stuff. So we're not going to have to reinvent the wheel there. We may spend some time talking about it, but I'm going to pretty much rely on you guys to say, okay, here's the 70 clients. Let's go through them and figure out where they go, and off they go. And the sooner, frankly, the better. The sharper the scalpel, the better. Makes it easier.
Rob, I was going to ask you a question about the segmentation and those 70 clients.
Yeah,
If, you know, during that process, there may be clients in there that, you know, have the potential to move from the 70 into the 100. We're going to work on those types of skills, too, with regard to, you know, hopefully transitioning people to the types of clients we want.
Right. And here's what we're going to say to all of our clients. We're going to tell them about the new experience. Share with them the good news, basically.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, I just wanted to let you know that we have hired a consultant. And the reason we hired a consultant was because we became a little bit frustrated. The good news is our business has grown. The frustration has come from the growth of the business. As you know, sometimes businesses grow a little too fast, and ours has. And so we just have not had the time that we wanted in order to service our best and our existing clients. So we hired a consultant to look at our practice, and what he determined was that we frankly had too many clients. And so what we're going to do is improve the client experience for our existing clients, but limit the number of clients that we have. And at that point, the client is going, oh, my God, he's going to fire me. And so at that point, you go, and the good news is that you're one of our best clients, and therefore we're going to offer you the following. And you simply give them this speech, which you should really memorize, which is
uh-huh.
What we're offering is in-depth multi-generational planning with full implementation of that planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews, 2 of them in person, and then rapid response to your problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that sound? And they'll say, oh, that sounds wonderful. Am I one of your clients? And we say, yes, you are. And they'll say, oh, that's wonderful, and they're going to be all excited. And frankly, at that point, often, not always, and not, but sometimes people will say two things. One, they say, I'm really glad you told me about this, because I was planning on transferring my account, okay? But if you're going to really do this, then I will stay with you. And we've had that happen. Rob Schaefer and I and the other coaches have all had it happen with FAs all the time. Happens a lot. The second comment would be, that sounds wonderful, but it seems like a lot. And what we say is, look, here's the reality. You're managing your most important asset, your money, all right, next to your health and your family. This is the most important thing in the world. And therefore, we really want you to take it seriously. And therefore, that's why we're devoting this amount of time to it. And they'll be, okay, I understand. Or you can use analogies like just think of this as some people would know about concierge physicians. So you could use that analogy, like concierge physicians that reduce their practice from 10,000 patients down to 100. That's really what we're doing. And we give an extraordinary experience to those people. Other people, you know, are familiar with the first-class airline experience. And you say, just like the airline, you weren't familiar with what that service was like until you sat in first class, the large seats, et cetera. The linen and the crystal, the great service, free drinks, all that. It was lovely. After that, you really didn't want to go back to coach. So what we're offering is that first-class experience. We'd like you to try it. After 6 months, if you're dissatisfied with it or think it's too much, then we'll return to the other model. But and they always laugh, and they never want to go back to the other model.
Right.
And at that point, people will the third reaction is, this is wonderful. I have an account over at, you know, Brand X, Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch, and, you know, I haven't heard from the guy in 6 months, so I'd like to transfer that to you. So if you don't know, or if you don't happen to have all the money, this is a great opportunity to consolidate assets. So again, other ways of paying you are by bringing in more assets. You could raise prices, or they could give you introductions. So it's really three ways of paying you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And for the clients that you're going to reassign, you're going to give them that same presentation. And at the end, you're simply going to say, and because we're limiting our practice to less than 100 clients, I'm going to reassign you to one of my trusted associates. All right. And since we've had such a wonderful relationship over the years, I've told him about you. And what I'd like to do is I've told him that, you know, we're more than clients. Relationship, we're friends. And I told them to treat you like a friend. If you're dissatisfied in any way with this person that I assign you to, then I will find you someone else. I didn't say you could come back. I said I'll find you someone else. And most people are good with that. They will, at that point, say, well, what does it take to be in your top 100? And you say, well, it's $10,000 a year in fees, or it's a minimum of $1 million of assets. And they'll go, you know, I have this other account. Would that work? And you go, sure, come on. Or, you know, that wouldn't quite make the grade, and I really don't want to charge you more than I should. In terms of this. So you just, again, go through it a few times, get yourself in practice it with each other.
Mm-hmm.
The key is to get that three-piece, the multi-generational planning with full implementation of the planning process through 12 scheduled appointments for reviews to them in person. Get that piece down. Then the rapid response, provide rapid response to each and every one of your problems, 1 hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that sound? People will go, wow, that sounds fabulous. Can you do it? Yes, because we'll have less than 100 clients. So you keep practicing saying that until it just rolls off your tongue like it does mine. So for the first homework session is to determine who it is that we want to keep and who do we want to reassign.
Okay.
And so we have to determine our maximum number of clients and the minimum that we will accept for new business. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
New business. So we have two different levels, and this is based on human psychology that I created these two levels because what I found was people were cheating, okay, which is normal. People always do a little bit, tell little lies and they cheat a little bit, but that's normal. Doesn't take away from their character, still good people. But so how do people cheat on their minimums and their maximum? Well, on their minimums, you know, if I said, what is your minimum? You said, well, our average size client is blank. Okay, let's say it's $1 million. All right, so our average, our absolute minimum is then a million because we don't want to bring in anybody that's less than our average. Makes sense. We want to grow, right? Bring in small clients.
Uh-huh.
Now we have to replace them with a good, you know, have to take out a good client. That'd be crazy. So we want to get rid of the people at the bottom over time and bring in people at the top. So that creates our absolute minimum. We look at the top 20% of, let's say, the 20% of the 100 that you're going to keep, and what does that look like? Those 20 clients average probably, in my example, they'd average around 2.5 to 3 million. All right? So that would be then our target minimum. Remember, we want to bring in 30 clients that look like our top, actually our top 20.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So what happens is all of our prospecting changes. Everything that we're doing gets very focused. And whatever we focus on, we get. Right? Fishing analogy is a perfect one. If you go where the fish are big, you're going to get big fish. There's no way to catch big fish where the small fish live. So we're going to spend our time and energy going after the larger fish in the ripest area. So we're going to look for big fish where the fish are hungry and they're biting and where there's plenty of them. And you'd be surprised how much time people spend prospecting in places where there aren't any fish. Oh, just like a good guide, I'm going to help you get to where the fish are, and then you're going to get very, very, very good at it. And some guides can put you on fish every single day, as you know. And that's what
we know one of those guys.
That's what we need, right? We all want those. And they're there. You just, you know, you got to spend money on them. And that's the key. You know, it's worth it.
I had a colleague in management once say that you can't make a thick stew with skinny squirrels.
That's right. Right.
Kind of a southern thing, I think. But
those southerners are funny. They have great expressions for everything.
They really do.
So
we're on board. I mean, we've already, Kenny in particular, has already started some of the segmentation analytics.
Good.
So, you know, we know what our
What would your minimum be, your absolute minimum, and then your target minimum? Any idea if you look at those 100 clients?
Mm-hmm. I didn't do 100 because we haven't segmented down, but I did it just roughly on the 170, and then we had a few elephants, dead elephants in terms of asset sizes, which I just kind of knocked out, like a $10 million account that paid $0 in fees, another $10 million account that paid $0 in fees that were kind of skewing it. So I just knocked them out to make it a little more realistic. Absolute minimum for account size was 710,000 or 5,900 in production. And then target minimums, which again I did the 20%, the average of the 20% of 170, which is their top 34 clients. And that was just over $2 million average account size with average production of 21,000.
Okay.
But again, that's not segmented yet.
Okay, so how does that feel to you guys?
I will say shocking for the group.
Yeah. Yeah, shockingly high, you know, for, you know, the absolute minimum. Just based on our, what I perceive as our excess time, it seems like, you know, it should be lower, but I'm not going to go against what works.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I want you to do it again based on the 100, okay, because that's the reality.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the money is. I mean, that's
yeah.
Yeah, post-segmentation. This is pre-segmentation.
Right.
So the numbers would be slightly higher, I would assume.
Yeah, my guess is your absolute minimum is going to be $1 million, and your target minimum is going to be closer to $3 million.
Yep.
And, you know, that's okay, guys. That's good, actually.
Uh-huh.
That means you don't have to bring in. You don't have to bring in small accounts, see?
Yeah, I just can anticipate the hesitation of, all right, we're meeting with a $600,000 account, and, you know, because we have bandwidth, you know, for principal purposes and keeping the rail on the right tracks, the train on the right tracks, you know, handing them off to our trusted partner. As opposed to, all right, well, why wouldn't we take a $600,000 account?
Right.
Well, we're going to have more detailed conversations about this because, one, as Kenny said, we have bandwidth. So we're looking at 100 clients, which is really 33 per FA.
Yep.
You know, we have three FAs on the team. But I have a question. So let's say, you know, right now, absolute pre-segmentation, we're a little over 700 in assets, 5,900 in revenue. If you had, let's say after the post-segmentation, you get to $1 million in assets, 10,000
yep.
revenue. You bump into a $650,000 client, new client, who will pay 1.5%, giving you 10,000 in revenue. Is that the rule, you know, like in the first video, the rule of common sense, you know, if it has other qualitative, issues like, you know, nice guy, could be a refer clients and stuff like that. Or does it have to be both asset and revenue or one or the other?
It's a really good question. And you know, there's a, you know, if a person had 300,000 and you charge them 3 1/3%,
yeah,
if there are some we would like to, but
yeah, no. Those are family accounts anyway.
Yeah.
See my point. My point is, you really should. You know, each client is getting. I understand absolutely. You know, having a revenue minimum. I think that's great. There's a point where you're kind of, how should I say it, abusing smaller clients, and you really don't want to do that. So you're going to want to have a maximum fee, and that fee should be, you know, pretty universal.
No, that goes without saying. That's not really what I was talking about, tweaking fees to hit you know,
sure.
our absolute minimums. What I'm talking about is someone that may be on the line where you have absolute minimum, 1 million assets, absolute minimum, $10,000 in,
right.
you know, and some clients do pay 1.5%, SMAs, things like that typically come in at 1.5 or 1.7, so which would take a, let's call it a $700,000 account, and on a, which is below the threshold for assets, but above the threshold for revenue.
Gotcha.
All right, so here's what I would suggest you do, all right, is you say that, all right? So our absolute minimum is $10,000.
Right.
Okay? Therefore,
and we will not overcharge to get there.
Right, and we're going to say, okay, we will. Our target is 3 million, but we will take someone with 1 million. All right, because they can
right.
pay that fee. If the person is a super friend, a nice guy, everybody loves him, and he is referring business to us, plus he's willing to pay 1.5%, he meets our target or our absolute minimum of $10,000. So therefore, after negotiating with your partners, you decide we will accept this guy. Okay.
Good.
Okay.
All right, but that means the $400,000 guy does not get in.
Right.
Okay. And the 550 guy doesn't get in.
And would you argue even the 700 probably shouldn't get in, or?
If you decide, all I'm saying is whatever you guys decide.
Right.
All right. Is it will take a $600,000 client if, in fact, he pays 1.5%. And he's a guy that's a great guy. He's going to be easy to work with. And he's you know, not going to take a lot of extra time. We're going to give him 1242 and financial plan and all the rest. But he's not going to be a good guy. And he's going to refer business to us. Then we will make the exception. Because when we bring him in, that lowers our average.
Right.
Hmm. So if it's a referral that's below the mark and we already know it's below the mark, do we not even, you know, accept the referral, you know, the meeting, or do we, you know, go for the meeting and see if something else will come of it and see if we have a rapport with the person and if they maybe would be a center of influence, or do we just not take the meeting?
That's a good question. It's a really good question. Remember, you're going to train your clients and you're going to train your centers of influence as to what your target and who you're after.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to tell them that we're after the $3 to $10 million client. All right, that's kind of our sweet spot. We'll certainly take $50 million clients, but we just find that we work very comfortably with the $3 to $10 million group. And they'll go, okay, that's who you are then, all right? And they put you in the box. But if you tell them that our minimum is $600,000, then they put you in a different box.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So we need to get out of the box we're in, which is maybe they don't even know you're in a box, and move to the $3 to $10 million box. For clients, for centers of influence, for everybody. And then you guys talk about $3 to $10 million all the time, or $3 to $20. Make it whatever you want. $3 to $25 million probably is a better number. So let's say $3 to $25 million is really our sweet spot. That's where we are very comfortable working with clients. And then people go, okay, that sounds wonderful. Okay. But you don't say our minimum is $1 million or $600,000. And when they refer somebody that has $600,000, then you just re-educate them. All right?
Uh-huh.
So you meet with the person, you're gracious to them, and then you immediately reassign them just to your new best friends in the office.
Right.
Okay? Who aren't prospecting, are good guys, aren't growing, but would desperately love a $600,000 client. And then what you tell them is when you run into the guy with $20 million, then you come to us and we'll help you. And that's when we'll split some business.
That's a good idea.
Okay, so now you've just, you know how we are always trying to elevate ourselves in the office? And trying to be the top producer and all that stuff we try and do. Well, all of a sudden, you're now automatically elevating yourself in the office to the big producers. You're the big producer now. Because your minimum's higher than everybody's,
uh-huh.
Most people. And it just changes the game. And whatever we focus on is what we get. People think that's crazy. No, that's what happens. If you can imagine it goal setting wise, you'll achieve it.
Uh-huh.
That's how you get to where you've gotten to so far. And so that's what we do. From here on, we start telling everybody this is who we are and this is who we prospect and that's who you go after.
Uh-huh.
My brother was saying, you know, we're going to work on millennials, the next gen, you know, how do you get people to work on millennials and da-da-da. I said, that is a waste of time. I said, we're working on the people that already have the money. All right, we're not.
The millennials will be your butlers.
Millennials will be your butlers, and, you know, they'll be the next gen. And if there's one that developed an app that's got $1 billion, then gladly we'll take them. But that's not our market, age-wise. Our average client is 65. Our average prospect should be 65.
Uh-huh.
Right? That's who has the money. That's when they need us. Up to that point, they don't need us because they don't have the money. Now, I'm exaggerating to make the point. You know, somebody that's – people make all their money between the age of 50 and 65 on average. Those are the big earning years.
Good. I just turned 50.
No, I mean, seriously, everything up to that point is getting ready to make the big money. And some people never – you know, they're a carpenter. It doesn't matter, but – most people have worked up to that position of being senior vice president, and now they start coining the money.
Uh-huh.
And they've got that job because they've got the experience.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Yep.
So it's all about focus and time. And you think, wow, if we reassigned all those clients, we only have 30 clients each, or 33 clients each, then what are we going to do? You've got the greatest blessing in the world. You've got time. And that's when you become masters of your prospecting process. You'll be spending 70% of your time prospecting instead of 5% or 10%.
Mm-hmm.
That's when everything changes because you're good. When you spend 70% of your time doing anything, going to get really good at it. But when you spend 5% of your time or 0% of your time, you're not going to get very good at it, and you lose your skills you had when you started.
Yeah, I just get a little – that part makes me a little nervous just because, I mean, me personally, I don't have a lot of experience prospecting, and sort of what I like about this is that a lot of the prospecting should be – seems to be coming from excellent service through referrals, but if we're – minimizing that number of people we could get referrals from, then wouldn't it stand to reason that we'd be minimizing our prospecting if that's the function?
No, because you're going to be prospecting centers of influence, and if you have time, you'll have more of those.
Mm.
You're going to be doing other things that are long-term strategies for building the business that you never have time for and people don't take time for.
Mm.
Right. I mean, I'll answer that also. I mean, my point of view is that Kenny's right. You know, it feels uncomfortable that it's a limited pool, but it's a limited pool that's contacted times that there are opportunities, and the articulation of the service is almost like asking for a referral. And when you talk to, when you're giving great service for in 12, you know, in all these contacts over a year's time, I think your odds are higher.
Mm.
I'm hoping.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'll say it differently. My fear is that I will have too much time and not know what to do.
Yeah, and that's normal. I mean, that's not unusual.
Mm.
I mean, that is to be expected. But I will show you how to use that time effectively.
Okay. That's great.
That's the plan. You know, we have seven different prospecting strategies. Each one has worked to build a business for a successful group of FAs out there. And so we've studied those strategies and then teach those to you, and you choose all seven or four of the seven or three of the seven. It's up to you which one you choose or how many you choose or you use them all. And if nobody has the time that you're going to have And so by having that opportunity, you can experiment with all seven and say, you know, these four work great for me, but I don't, you know, I had one team I was coaching this morning, and they said, we just don't have time for that one because we're having to do too much transactional business. And I go, great, don't use it.
Hello?
Hello? Hello, you have Brian and Matt here and Linda.
Okay, good. All right, guys, we're going to have to end our call, and I appreciate it. So we're going to look at getting look through the homework for week one, which is really the most important thing, is to establish an accurate min and max. So go back and think through that. If you want to read ahead a little bit on the acquisition strategies, I think that'll make Kenny, everybody a little more comfortable. All right.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you.